Bill chase home pretty good. This is a wide open race with a number of chances, pretty evenly matched, and I reckon the barrier's not good, but I reckon it's got a very, very good hope here. And today Jason Watkins comes here to ride the horse. He'll come in one, two, he'll come in about two of the scratches, the barrier nine. Sister Joy originally handicapped on 63, but with the claim for Emily Atkinson, will carry 60. She's the best horse of the race. If she produces the best, she's won seven races. She's a winner on the track here. Mark Spencer trains her at Musselbrook. He runs second at Coffs Harbour recently, second up for the spell. Emily rode her that day. He got beat a length and a half, fourth to the turn and ran home well. I give her a good chance because she is drawn well. Number six, Blinker Legend, first up. Had a good trip last time in. Won a couple and placed in its last three before it went to the paddock. Trained on the track. Number six, sorry, have we got it? Number 13, Enagami, Atara Philippe Figaro. Won well at Tari last start. Got to be a chance for the good barrier. Three off for Liam Birch. It'll only have 52 and a half. Number four, Explosive Missile, for Warren, Gavin Locke and Digger McClellan. Not without a chance. First up, Warren took it to the Beaumont track in Newcastle. The trial in preparation for this race, and I thought it trialled all right. 3, 1, 6 and 13.
So 3, 1, 6, 13 in the last stand. Recapping Gary Harley's best was Burning Crown in race 6. That's race 6 number 2. It's coming up to 28 minutes to 11.
On the Pace, every weekday morning from 10:30.
And we've got Pacing Rewind at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Andrew Bensley joins me. Benz, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, Simon, and plenty going on. A cavalcade of top-class harness racing last night. We had it at Menangle. We had the Truer Memorial at Bankstown on Friday night. And down at Melton in Victoria, of course, last night, the Victoria Oaks. And things are certainly warming up over in New Zealand with some good racing on Friday night as well. So plenty to discuss this morning, Simon.
And the favourite won the Oaks last night, Billabong Tanner for Barry Purton.
Yeah, look, Barry, you know, still brings over horses, obviously, when they, you know, when the stable feel that they can pick off a real big group one, and he did that last night with Bella Montana. We'll talk to Adam Hamilton about the race in just a tick, but he, look, she had to work at a little bit at the end to win the race from Kualoa and two times better, Emma Stewart running second and third in the Oaks, but certainly, you know, when Barry travels, you just want to be with him.
Adam will join us shortly. So that was Bella Montana last night, and the Vic Bred Mares final was on as well. And this was won by I Love You Babe, defeating the favourite Ben's Angel of Arts.
Yeah, it was. Love You Babe was just drawn nicely compared to Angel of Arts, who had to overcome that second row draw. And Love You Babe just showed enough speed to be able to lead the race for Glenn Craven. And look, it shifted out under pressure over the concluding stages, but it won the race. Rock and Roll Pearl, it had early gate speed, but certainly the stewards and I want to follow up on the run of Rock and Roll Pearl out of that race last night. It disappointed in the straight. It got well beaten to finish, I think, 7th or 8th in the race. So, yeah, it was Love You Babe winning that Mare's Sprint Championship final last night at Melton.
And we should be able to get Hammer along in just a moment. Friday yep. night, Benz, we had the Truer Memorial at Bankstown.
We did. Let's go back to that because it was an exciting race. The build-up around the clash again of Elmer's Image and Ignitus was certainly going to be well spoken about because they clashed a couple of weeks before that. But, you know, just the way the race was run, you know, it was Elmer's Image doing it again. Amanda Turnbull we spoke to on the program this time last week, and Elmer's Image had just been able to control the race. Ignitus tried to make up some ground there mid-race, but Elmer's Image just controlled it. The third quarter was run in 28, then they ran home in 28.9, and it was just very strong over the concluding stages, Elmer's Image. As I say, it started clear favourite at around $1.35 to beat Ignatius at $3.80. They cleared out on the others, and they mile-rated in 158.5. It was good to see Elmer's Image and Ignatius fighting it out there. Two progressive, really strong horses at this stage, and you would just feel that with you know, the Len Smith Mile and other races not far away, they'll come up pretty quickly, then these two horses are going to have more clashes. And I know there's plenty of markets open for harness races coming up, particularly out of New Zealand with the Jewels, and there's always markets open on other feature races, but these two will be very prominent horses in these races. As I mentioned, they ran the first quarter in 30.7, then they ran 30 and then scooted home. Melbourne's Image, when Amanda Turnbull wanted to go, they ran that third quarter in 28 and then 28.9 to win the Truer Memorial on Friday night. Elmer's Image beating Ignatius, and as I say, it was a comfortable win again, drawing that gate four when Ignatius had to overcome gate nine in that race. Last night, Simon, we had the Clubman Angle Carousel, a Group 2 race, and Cullenburn won the race for Craig Cross and Luke McCarthy. It was a real strong performance because it showed initially good pace out of the gate. It took up the lead, then it handed up and then used the sprint lane up the inside of the leaders to grab victory. Gee, there were some nice horses finishing out wide, always flashing Times Tried and True Confessions. They really did finish it off. True Confessions only got beaten less than a length, and it was a massive odds at $26 for the Fitzpatricks, but it was really strong over the concluding stages. Cullenburn, though, for Luke McCarthy, it was able to well, show that early pace and then finish off at the end of the race. Luke McCarthy deciding to just take a sit and then finish it off at the end, and that was what it was able to do to win the carousel. Always flashing, finished off out wide for Matt Rue, and Times Tried, as I say, for the Lauren Tritton driver, and Darren Binskin, the trainer, was only beaten a short neck, so it was a half neck, a neck in the carousel last night. So we look forward to seeing those again. I know we're having our issues collaring Adam Hamilton. What we might try and do, I'm doing this on air live, Simon, but we might try Greg Hayes and just see whether Hazy takes our call, whether he's got his mobile near. Last night, outside those two feature races, we had the two finals of the Kevin and Kay Seymour three-year-old Colts and Geldings Evolution Series race. And Colossal Stride was no surprise to win for the Tritons. The boys' division last night, it started at $1.55, and and Adam Hamilton is now right. Alex, our producer this morning, Adam's ready to go. Colossal Stride won the race, that Evolution for the boys last night, defeating Double Bliss. And the fillies final for the Evolution Series went to Salarina. It also started favourite for Lauren Crossland and David Moran, starting at $2.90, defeating Billy Kate. But they were the two Evolution Series finals last night, as I say, going to Colossal Stride, winning the three-year-old boys, and Salarina won the fillies race last night.
And we've had the APG heats on as well, and again, Emma Stewart dominating with Friday's card at Melton. Four of the heats of the APG there went to the Stewart Barn. Adam Hamilton, finally, we've been able to grab a hold of him. He joins us now. Adam, good morning to you.
Yeah, man in demand at the moment. Sorry about that, guys. It's got
come on. Surely.
It's all about the big Warrnambool week ahead. I got bogged down on. So, what about those Aussie Gold heats? Emma and Clayton just absolutely owning the day. And I think the biggest surprise, and it was a tactical battle, was the end of the unbeaten streak for Gillaby Nitro. Chris Elvett at his absolute best. He wasn't out there just to qualify. He was out there to win and beat Gillaby Nitro on MacDane. He led. Gillaby Nitro dropped in behind him rather than have to do the work outside of him. And Elvett just dictated and really upped the tempo at the right time. And Gillaby Nitro couldn't get near him in the home straight. So, look, it may be a different story in the final. But, MacDane was comprehensively beaten by Gillaby Nitro at Bathurst. But that didn't dull Elford's confidence to try and turn the tables on Friday, and he did it successfully. So now I guess it comes down to, who he's going to drive in both of the finals. Of course, he'll be on your horse, Andrew, with the rest of the owners in Be Happy Mac in the Colts and Geldings, and the fillies will be an interesting race as well. But it's not only, Emma Stewart going into this series. The filly Pelosi, who won up at Albion Park and qualified, she's sensationally bred. She's out of a great Wayne Honan family. related to Batusa and Express Post being out of 4 Dear Life. And Pelosi went the fastest a two-year-old filly ever has, winning by half a straight. And she was only 1/10 of a second outside Muscle Factory Queensland two-year-old record. So if she can draw, she'll be a formidable opponent on her home track in the build-up to the series.
I think the one thing, Adam, that came through, obviously, we were hoping, as you've said, I own a little share in Be Happy Mac that won the one of the heats for the boys. But the thing with Emma Stewart, we normally see them that they're all raging clear favourites and you can't have a bet. But I know Gemstone started at $1.10 and won, but Lightning Lana won at $5.20. Be Happy Mac won at $3.20 and MacDam won at $4.10. And we were standing there thinking, what in the hell, why didn't we have a multi or something, you know?
Yeah, well, look, it's so true, isn't it? But I guess in a couple of the cases, they did beat stablemates, if you yep. like. You know, even your own horse beating Miragon. You know, only the stable would know who they rate higher out of the two. Miragon has got an absolute stack of ability, there's no doubt about it. But Be Happy Mac just looks as though he's been here before, doesn't it? He looks more like a professional three-year-old racehorse than he does... you know, perhaps a two-year-old at this relatively early part of the season. So I think you're really well placed, but we know the barrier draws are going to be so important. Mm. And, you know, it's not easy travelling away with babies, is it? You've got to go all the way up to Queensland and hope things go well on the trip. But, you know, you've got the best driver in the business, the best trainer of juveniles in your corner, and you're certainly looking pretty good. So, yeah, looking forward to these Aussie Gold Finals. Plenty else to talk about, though, guys. Don't know how far you got on the rundown before I joined you.
Yeah, no, well, we covered off on the results. Barry Purden, as I said in the introduction, Adam, when he does bring one across now, you've just got to be with it. And, you know, last night in the Oaks, they used the sprint lane, but the horse just continued to fire, the raging favourite.
Yeah, Belle of Montana. Look, she's a lovely filly. Aussie-owned, of course. Dean Shannon, who has had so many great horses with the Graham family, and no doubt this filly will end up continuing her career in Australia at some stage. But it was just, there were a couple of layers to the genius of Barry Purden and this Oaks assault. He realised that Princess Tiffany wasn't going to come across and Mark Purden and Nat Rasmussen weren't going to have a runner. So any time he can get away with away from Princess Tiffany is a smart move. But it adds massively to her value to win an Aussie Group 1, and she's now got that on board. So, and he's done it in a window where he doesn't or he hasn't had to miss any big races back in New Zealand. She can get back over there now for the size. She can get back over there for the Harness Jewels to finish out the season. Whether she can beat Princess Tiffany, as good as she is, and clearly she's better than our fillies on what we've seen, but Princess Tiffany was emphatically better than our fillies when she won the New South Wales Oaks. So, but it's good that we're going to have some good contests. And personally, you know, Barry Purden's someone that I've dealt with, and so have you, Andrew, for 25 years now. And, I don't want to play favourites, but I haven't met a better bloke in the sport. And to see him get back over and win another really, really good feature race over here is absolutely fantastic. And credit to Zachary Butcher. Prefers to go by Zachary now, a little bit more of a regal title than just Zach. But it was just a smart drive. He had to do more than he wanted early. He knew that if he handed up to Kualoa, he'd get the beautiful drag into the sprint lane. And he backed his filly speed. And she didn't just win, she won easily.
Cullen Boom, we've mentioned, won the carousel last night at Benangle. But can I get your overall thoughts going forward with Elmer's Image and Ignatius? Because they're going to meet him multiple times, you'd feel, this year.
Yeah, they will. And this is... and firstly, credit to Amanda Turnbull and the team with Elmer's Image. Came down to the Melbourne Inter Dominions, and I thought the way he was building into that series, he could make the final and be some sort of force, but it was like it took him a little while to get used to it. He sort of got better with each run, but missed the final, and then he just blitzed them in the consolation and smashed the clock there. He's then had a break, come back, and he's gone to a whole new level. So he right now would be as good as any open class horse in Australia. So with the Len Smith Mile coming up at the end of June, the Queensland Winter Carnival after that, that's where he's headed. But longer term, and this is where the New Zealanders are going to benefit double time from having the Inter-Dominion in Auckland starting at the end of November. Elmer's Image and Ignatius, who again was very brave in defeat in that Truro Memorial final after doing all the work, both of those at this stage are being set to go across to New Zealand early to have a crack at the New Zealand Cup on the second Tuesday in November, which will mean they'll have, you know, a good 6 to 7 weeks over in New Zealand because they'll stay and go from Christchurch up to Auckland for the Inter-Dominion after that. Now, if they're doing that, I've got no doubt a number of other horses, Aussie horses, will do the same. So I think we're numbers and quality-wise, we're going to have our biggest assault on the New Zealand Cup week, trotters and pacers we've ever had.
Adam, we've got a couple of minutes to go. You bring in New Zealand there, and the action was first class on Friday night. Spankham won the Taylor Mile, and they've got another four Group 1s this Friday night.
Yeah, they have indeed. This is one of their biggest meetings of the year on Friday night. So Spankham led and won that Taylor Mile and landed a really big betting plonk because I think, to be honest, the markets were wrong when they went up. This was a Miracle Mile winner who was always going to lead. Turn It Up might be a better horse, but it was a sprint race and he was going to have to sit outside Spankham. Different this week. They go to the Group 1 Messenger, 2,700 metres, different draw. Even if Spankham draws better than Turn It Up, I think Turn It Up will turn the tables on him, even on what we saw in the Taylor Mile. Turn It Up and potentially Spankham, then and Chase Auckland, who wasn't too far away coming from a mile off them. It'll be interesting after the Messenger how many of those go on to the Harness Jewels. But also wanted to mention they had the first of two feature trots, the Anzac Cup, on Friday night. The Roe Cup is on this week, and they've got a new star in New Zealand. His name's Sunday Sun. He showed glimpses New Zealand Cup week, although he made costly mistakes. He galloped at crucial stages, and he's got it all together this campaign. And his win in the Anzac Cup was brilliant. I'm happy to say he's as good as any trotter in Australasia, Tornado Valley included, the way he's going right now. And he's only a young trotter, a four-year-old, so he's got a massive future ahead of him, and we get to see him again in the Roe Cup this Friday.
All right, and I should mention with Tab, there's all of those Jules markets are up, and in that Jules three-year-old Diamond Princess, Tiffany's the favourite at $1.45 over last night's Victoria Oaks winner in Bella Montana at $3.50, if you think that the Montana can do it over there on June 1. And we might see a couple of Aussie horses. I know a few trainers are starting to think about it a bit more seriously now, Adam, so you never know what might pop up in New Zealand.
Well, even out of your stable, Emma and Clayton, they're still telling the New Zealanders that they're going to take Alpha Male, the outstanding three-year-old trotter, over for the Harness Jewels, which will be the first time that they've ever been part of a Harness Jewels. And at this stage, well, there was 27 Aussie horses expressed interest in going to the Jewels. Obviously, that's expressions of interest. But at this stage, there could be as many as 6 or 7 going across to run across all of the Jewels finals, which come up on June 1. And just on Alpha Male quickly, well, Enhance Your Calm was beaten again and just doesn't look to be in the zone at the moment for the All-Stars barn in the three-year-old trot. So Alpha Male, if he turned up on the form we've seen him show at Melton of late, he would just win that Jewels final. I'm sure about that. So, gee, I hope they push ahead with the trip, which they're saying they're going to do at the moment.
We'll wait and see what happens. Adam, thank you for sparing us a few minutes this morning. Have a good week at Warrnambool, and we'll speak again.
Absolute pleasure. Yeah, great week coming up the Bull. Can't wait to get down there again, guys.
Good on you, mate. Adam Hamilton there joining us. And don't forget, Simon, as I wrap it up, and I know Dave Carlson biting at the bit there, the Harness and Greyhound talks continue Monday to Friday. Our new programming from 10:30 on the pace and going Greyhounds to get your latest on both codes. That's Monday to Friday from 10:30 in the morning.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon.
Thanks, Simon.
Now it's coming up to 10 to 11.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
So Carlton is standing by. Greyhounds as pets had their national adoption day at Wentworth Park on today. Gates open not long ago. Dave, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, Wentworth Park has been very, very busy over the last 24 hours or so. We're only a month of winter, but the times last night there were red hot, with Golden Easter Egg champion Zipping Bailey returning to headquarters for a thrilling win. More on that a little bit later on. But as you mentioned, in the meantime, the gates at Wente are open right now, with National Greyhound Adoption Day in full swing. Mick Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is there, and he joins us now. Morning, Mick. A perfect Sydney day for a bunch of beautiful dogs to find forever homes.
Morning, Dave. From a weather perspective, you couldn't ask for better. It's absolutely lovely, and it's pleasing to say that the crowds actually have rolled in. The gates didn't actually open until 10 a.m. officially. We had a few people coming in about 9:30, and I think the figure was three dogs were already adopted before the 10 a.m. Official kickoff time. So that's certainly a good sign. Overall, we've got 41 now. We had 45, but four were adopted before we even got to the day through our GAP programs. And there's 41, obviously, as I said, three were adopted before 10 a.m. and there's been a few moved off since then. So it's a good sign that these lovely dogs, people are coming down, families are bringing the kids down, and everyone's falling in love, as you often do.
Indeed, Mick. And last year I was there for Sky Racing, and there were young couples, there were older couples, lots of families there too, adopting new members for their households. And as we know, greyhounds, they suit all ages, they suit all demographics.
Absolutely right. And it's the same story again this year, Dave. It's families, there's older couples, young couples, families with kids. They're all here. Everyone's come for the same reason, to find a family member, which is the way they're treated, the way they're looked at. And they're lovable, adorable. They're very hard to say no to. I know my wife's at home telling me that I've got to bring one home. I don't know whether I actually will get around to it or not, but that's what she's telling me.
Well, GAP, which stands for Greyhounds as Pets, it's growing all the time, Mick. I mean, it's part of Greyhound Racing New South Wales' commitment to welfare.
It is indeed, yeah. Welfare's a big thing for us, Dave. It has been for quite some time. And this is all about furthering the full life of a greyhound. For the moment, it's whelped, whether or not it makes it to the track, whether it has a career at the track. This is about the life after the track and finding homes for dogs. We're really committed to it. It's an important and integral part of the industry. We've put a lot of money into this. We want to see it work. And it seems early indications today are that it certainly is working today, that people are coming along. And hopefully by the end of the day, I think that last year we had a 92% success rate of dogs finding homes. Hopefully we can better that this year and we can find homes for all the ones we have here today.
Absolutely. Greyhound Racing leading the way in welfare. And, Mick, how long does it go till today? I mean, if you're listening at the moment to Sky Sports Radio and you want to pop into Wentworth Park, when's it going till?
It's plenty of time, David. As I said, 10 a.m. the gates open, and we're here until 2 p.m. So there's still another 3 and a bit hours for anyone who wants to pop down. Traffic's not too bad. I can promise you around Wentworth Park this morning. So it'll be great to pop down, have a look at these dogs. Yeah, there's sausage sizzle, there's jumping castles, all the usual things for families as well. Plus, as I said, you get to meet an adorable dog that you may take home as a pet.
Mick, you are a wordsmith of note. For many, many years I enjoyed reading your sporting columns in the Sydney Morning Herald, and now, of course, you write a lot for thedogs.com.au, so no doubt you'll be penning a little tome about Greyhound Adoption Day today.
Absolutely. As a journo, Dave, there's nothing better than writing the feel-good, nice outcome stories. And this is certainly one you never get sick of writing about, greyhounds as pets and adoption days and dogs finding new homes with wonderful people.
Good on you, Mick. Well, Mick Cowley, thank you for joining us on Going Greyhounds this morning. And we'll learn more about it during the weekend, of course, on thedogs.com.au.
Thank you, Dave. And as you said, there's still plenty of time for anyone who wants to pop down.
Good on you, Mick. Mick Cowley there. Now, Simon, some more news. Hunter Valley trainer Jason McKay shone for the second Saturday night running when Golden Easter Egg champion Zipping Bailey produced another last-to-first performance, getting up in the very final stride to win a free-for-all at Wendy last night. Trailing the field, passing the catching pen, she sized up her opposition. She railed up through what looked to be an impossible couple of gaps before charging up the inside in the straight to score in a thriller. She pipped the early leader, Tap Out Dusty, by half a head in the night's fastest time of 29.70, with a very fast run home as well. Weighing in at just 26 kilos, she's got the heart and she's got the determination of a lion. Jason was actually at the Gardens in Newcastle, where the big unit Zipping Garth made it 5 wins from as many starts, bolting in by 11 lengths and going close to the track record of 29.16, which is actually held by Zipping Bailey. Now, Zipping Garth, which is also owned by Marty and Fiona Hallinan, stopped the clock at 29.20, producing a run home of 11.80, and that was after he was one of the last to leave the boxes. Very, very exciting pup. He's by Zulu Zeus from Zipping Abbey. Exciting customer, having sizzled around Richmond about a week ago at his previous start in 30.09. Congratulations are also in order for Robert Groisard Jr., who trained a winning treble at the Gardens last night with Precious Halo, LaBeouf, and Swiss Roll Cloud. Mark Gatt also had a top night. Good on you, Gatty, with He's All Shine saluting at Wentworth Park, and It's a Wish and Ritz Avonnie both winning easily at Bulleye. Now, He's All Shine came from last early, railing into the first turn before switching to the outside in the home straight to win in 30.03, while smart pup Ritz Avonnie finished far too powerfully over the 515 metres at Bulleye, clocking 28.76. Then It's a Wish railed up into the first turn before thrashing her rivals in 26.19. So no doubt it's going to be a big Sunday lunch for Mark and Frank Gadd. A big Chinese feed at Narellan could be my tip, with Chrissy Nutt chiming in at the Lazy Susan. And speaking about lazy characters, Simon, I enjoyed a fantastic day and night on the punt yesterday with your Sky colleague Mickey Wallace. We backed plenty of winners, told plenty of lies, and Mick's on the road at the moment to Dubbo ahead of him working for Sky Thoroughbred Central at the Narromine meeting tomorrow. So
it'll be like, no doubt, it'll be like two old fishermen chatting about the one that got away.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a few of them that saluted. So we're pretty happy about that. And at the Dogs last night, we continued to collect, so it was terrific. By the way, Simon, no greyhound meetings in New South Wales today. Plenty of action from interstate and across the Tasman. And while I'm here, my horse Settler Stone, the old boy, is in race 5 at Devonport today. He gets about 12 or 13 kilos off the Hobart and Launceston Cup winner EastEnder. So Rocky, as we call him, go you good thing.
Now, we spoke about Zipping Bailey there, who won the Easter Egg. Of course, the short price favourite was Federal Lily, and I heard a whisper that Peter Lagogiani's Federal Lily that was second in last week's Golden Easter Egg might be heading to the Sapphire.
Yes, that's what Pete was saying, and Pete, you know, he's had so much success in New South Wales and in Victoria, and so I want to wish Peter all the very best. Him and Jody, they've got some great dogs, the Mystic Dogs, Mystic Ride, of course, the winner of the $1 million chase. And we also want to wish Midnight Dare, the sprinter, and M-Buy for Ruthie Maddock, the stayer, in the Speed Star. They both trialled absolutely brilliantly at Sandown in the past week. So, New South Wales Greyhounds, let's fly that flag, Simon.
Good on you, Dave. I'll let you get to it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and hopefully, and I'm sure it will be, a huge success, the National Adoption Day at Wendy.
It will be, and it's a tremendous initiative, and congratulations to all those people who have just gained new members of their families.
Thanks very much, Dave. We'll hear through the week.
Cheers, Simon.
Dave Charlton there. It's 1 minute to 11.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. You.
Dynamic Syndications and Kieran Maher Racing invite you to join us in a high quality yearly